Time now for this week's quote of the week. Now, we got a federal election campaign already underway. It's clear that old-time politics back in vogue. It's personal attacks. I don't see much on issues yet, underpinned by the cynical promise them anything, no price tag attached. Billions already being promised in efforts to encourage voters to go one direction or another. It's all about what's in it for me and to hell with future generations. Actually, I think it's to hell with everybody else. I mean, with everybody on that score. And it comes in a context where personal freedoms like free speech, equality before the law, where people were supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, are under attack. And I think that makes one of the most famous speeches in modern history all the more pertinent. On the day of his inauguration, John F. Kennedy, January 20th, 1961, said this.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
As I say, what an absolute classic. But what a reminder. Think about this. Juxtapose that with today. Now, keep in mind, John F. Kennedy was considered a liberal on the left side of the political spectrum, but he's asking for personal responsibility. I think that's the antithesis of the modern progressive liberal left. But nowhere is a contrast, I think, more vivid than Kennedy's rejection of the politics of division. He says in quotes, "Only with unity can cooperative goals be reached." Well, come on, that's been completely rejected by today's Democrats in the States. It's also rejected by President Trump. But Kennedy was a Democrat. That's why it's more pertinent. It's a change in the Democratic Party. Our prime minister loves to play the politics of division. As I say, there's lots of ways to measure how dramatically things have changed over the years. But I'll tell you, this is one of the good ones. It shows just how much things have changed. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, did you happen to catch, of course, we're getting dredged up the old abortion debate again. I mean, to me, it's a manufactured one, you know, because Andrew Scheer is a Christian. And Michael Corrin questioned whether he could keep his Christian faith in bay, with the abortion debate. But this is how laughable our politics are becoming. Because the same thing went down in 2011. It was November. Justin Trudeau was upset and offended because a Tory MP publicly questioned his Catholic faith in conjunction with his pro-abortion stand. And, of course, Mr. Trudeau was outraged at that. And says, he absolutely supports the tenets of the Catholic faith, but that he supports people's right to choose. My point is, it was the same kind of answer that Andrew Scheer gave that the same liberals were having a problem with. I think that explains what we're in for. I'm dedicating the quote of the week to our public sector union leaders, and I hope through this program, or maybe some other, you become familiar with Thomas Sowell, one of the English-speaking world's most best-known economists. Born in South Carolina, brought up in poverty in Harlem, author of several books, National Humanities Medal recipient for innovative scholarship and incorporated history, economics, and political science. Thing is, though, he is a gifted communicator. I smile when I think of how many times I have read something by Professor Sowell and I think, gosh, I wish I was that eloquent. And as usual, Dr. Sowell makes an observation that I invite you to consider. I think also very appropriate, given it's Labor Day weekend, especially with a federal election coming up. In quotes, "You can see the agenda behind the rhetoric when profits are called unconscionable, but taxes never are. Even when tax takes more than half of what someone has earned or add much more to prices we have to pay than profits do." One more time. "You can see the agenda behind the rhetoric when profits are called unconscionable, but taxes never are. Even when taxes take more than half of what someone has earned or add much more to the prices we have to pay than profits do, end of quote. Well, today's shocking stat is 12,000, again, appropriate for the Labor Day weekend. 12,000? That's 12,000 journalists in the traditional media who, by law, must be members of Unifor, whose leader, Jerry Diaz, I think is undermining and attacking their credibility by running an open campaign against the Conservative Party, thereby bringing the objectivity of the journalists covering the election really open for criticism, and it comes at a terrible time. I mean, how much of the union dues they're spending, by the way, we don't know, because immediately upon taking office, the federal liberals canceled Bill C-377, which, by the way, had the support of the majority of union members, but it forced the union executives to report any expenditure above $5,000. They no longer have to. Unifor's actions, by the way, come at a time, and I think we appreciate this, when the media's objectivity is being openly questioned, especially in light of the $600 million government newspaper bailout, which the government, in one of the most blatantly self-serving decisions in memory, actually put Unifor on the board who makes the decisions as to which media outlet gets the government money. This despite the fact that they are openly against the Conservative Party. And by the way, that's our money. And Jerry Diaz and Unifor get to decide which friends in the media get it. But Unifor's blatant bias is made worse for journalists by comments like by Prime Minister Trudeau's chief of staff, for example, Katie Telfer, who stated to then Attorney General Jody Wilson-Raybould that if she was worried about the blowback if she changed the or demanded that SNC-Lavalin get the preferred prosecution agreement, despite the fact that the Justice Department had ruled against it, that in quotes the Prime Minister's office would in quotes of course line up all kinds of people to write op-eds saying that what she's doing is proper, end of quote. But still, Jerry Diaz and the executives of Unifor say, really, screw you to the 12,000 journalists who are members of the union, because they know by law they can't leave the union. Although I have to say, I have no idea, by the way, if these ads against the Conservatives actually help or hurt the Liberals. I mean, there will certainly be some people who say, hey, Jerry Diaz and Unifor are against them. Well, I'm going to be for them. After all, this is the same union, by the way, that along with the Canadian Union of Postal Workers and the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation financed representatives to go to Venezuela to observe the election there and concluded in quotes, it's a strong and vibrant democracy. Now this is despite widespread condemnation by Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the Organization of American States panel of human rights experts concluded the Maduro regime should be referred to the International Criminal Court for murdering, torturing, and imprisoning political opponents. And this was called a strong and vibrant democracy. That's a huge black mark on Unifor. And I bet there's not a single journalist, along with the vast, vast majority of Unifor members, who aren't absolutely appalled and outraged by that. But so, what this is all about is the executive. It's Jerry Diaz and the executives. It has nothing to do with their members. Time now for this week's Goofy Award. You know, one of the things I think has been a huge problem for climate activists really is integrity. So many scandals about doctoring the data. We have horrendous ClimateGate emails where it was clear that some in the scientific community were actively working to prevent any data that put into question the climate agenda from being published. There's the continual backtracking of the International Panel of Climate Change where they admit that statements like the snow on the Himalayas was BS. I mean, one of the co-authors of the report, Murari Lal, said it was not based on peer review science, instead was just put in there to pressure politicians. Now, I could fill a couple of hours on the misleading, purposely falsified statements by climate change advocates, and it brings me to today's Goofy. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've been inundated with pictures of the forest fires in the Amazon, a perfect example of how alarmism and bull manure go hand in hand. Let's start with the claim that the Amazon produces 20% of the world's oxygen. We heard it from world leaders, ministers on the environment, and of course the ever-ignorant preening celebrity activists. As environmental scientist Dr. Daniel Nepstead, he's worked there for 30 years, for goodness sake, says, in quotes, that's BS. There's no science behind it. The Amazon produces a lot of oxygen, but it uses the same amount of oxygen through respiration, so it's a wash. In talking about that bogus claim, Oxford University professor of ecosystem science, this guy's got a huge set of credentials, Yadvinder Mali states, in all practical terms, the net contribution of the Amazon ecosystem, not just the plants alone, to the world's oxygen is effectively zero. I know it's tough for people to understand that when they hear that sort of BS repeated so often. And it was, by the way, in the increasingly disgraceful New York Times, already on the disgraced CNN, but other media outlets. Next up, the outrageous claim by CNN that the fires are burning at a record rate. A statement by a leading climate reporter says the current fires are without precedent in the last 20,000 years. Again, utter bullshit. As Dr. Nepstad points out, the number of fires in 2019 is just 7% higher than the average over the last 10 years. I mean, and finally, all those pictures you saw on social media, you know, the burning fires, etc., all those pictures that we were treated to, tweeted millions of times, pushed on by celebrities like soccer star Ronaldo, Madonna, Leonardo DiCaprio. To borrow from Seinfeld, fake, fake, fake. Pictures from everywhere, but not today's Amazon fires. You know, there are a lot of reasons to be concerned about what's going on in the Amazon today. The local air quality will have a significant impact on anyone living in the region. Obviously, there will be horrendous impact on people's lives, on the animals, insects, plant life, etc. And of course, there will be an increase in global carbon emissions. But oxygen, the Earth's lungs, no, that was BS. And it's this kind of over-the-top rhetoric, removed from any scientific thought, at times purposely misleading the public. These people and self-described publications of record like the New York Times are playing a major role in undermining support for climate initiatives. That's all the time we have this Labor Day weekend. I hope you go out and have a terrific time, play with friends, see family, whatever. Thanks for listening.